All right, Tulsa, good morning. So, yes, so first of all, our share today is sponsored by Baruch Fishel and Sonia Kozlowski and family in honor of Baruch Fishel's 60th birthday. Mazel Tov, and as I mentioned before, Admea Ve'esim Shanim Tovos. Tulsa, I apologize in advance. We're going to be ending early today, only to be able, because Baruch Hashem, the number of people here who are running in the Jewish Carry Network, men's 5K, so we're going to end early. We won't finish all that, but it's okay. Tomorrow, again, just a reminder, is a Sunday schedule. So Meretz Hashem, again, same thing. Dafyomi will be following the first minyan. We'll have a little bit more time, and Meretz Hashem, we'll be caught up. So we left off, we'll say, on today's daf is Yud Zayin. We left off on Tes Zayin Amud Beis 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Abin, my cross. Rabbi Abin said, what's the pasuk that supports us? Now remember, again, we ended off yesterday with the statement of Rabbi Kros Bedoy. And Rabbi Kros Bedoy explains that there are three books that are open. And those three books ultimately, again, are for the Tzadikim, for the Rishoim. Just be careful. And for the Beinonim. And for the people who are in between. So Rabbi comes along, Rabbi Abin, and asks, what is the pasuk that supports this? So he quotes the pasuk, Yimachum Sefer Chaim, V'im Tzadikim Ayikasfu. So the Gemara quotes this pasuk, they will be erased from the book of the living, but with the righteous they will not be inscribed. So the Gemara says, Yimachum Sefer, they'll be erased from the book. Zesifan Shal Risham, that refers to the book of the wicked. Risham Gemara, excuse me, Chaim, life. Zesifan Shal Tzadikim, this refers to the book of the righteous. The in tzadikim ayikasefu, but with the righteous they will not be inscribed. Zes sifran shel beinonim. That refers to the book of the beinonim, the in-betweeners, the middle of the roaders. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Mihachar. Nachman Yitzchak says from here, the im ayin mechenin amesifrecha asher kasavto. So but this is by Moshe Rabbeinu. Kind of, you just move them over. So again, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you will not go ahead and forgive the Jewish people, you could go ahead and erase me from the sefer that you wrote. So the Gemara says like this, so mecheinina zeh sifran shel rishoim, please erase me, please. That refers to the book of the wicked. Misifracha, from your book, zeh sifran shel tzadikim, this refers to the book of the righteous. Asher kasavta, that which you wrote, zeh sifran shel beinonim, this refers to the book of the beinonim. Tanya. So we'll say all the Gemara is looking for over here is a pasuk that provides a scriptural allusion to three different books. So the Gemara goes like, Tanya. Beisham, I say the following. Gimel Kitos Hen Liomadim. There are three groups. There are three groups for the Day of Judgment. Shel Tzadik, Achot Shel Tzadikim Gimurim. There's one group of the perfectly righteous. The Achot Shel Rishon Gimurim. There is one book of the absolutely wicked. The Achot Shel Beinonim. And there's one book of the Beinonim, the people who are in between. Tzadikim Gimurim Nechtavin V'Nechtam La'atr L'Chayi Olam. So the absolutely righteous are written and are sealed immediately for eternal life. Rishoim Gimurim. Also, it's actually interesting that if you look at the difference over here between Beis Shammai's Lashon and between Rabbi Kros Bedoy's Lashon, you'll see something fascinating. Rabbi Kros Bedoy's Lashon was, for example, that the absolutely righteous are inscribed La'altar L'Chaim. Beis Shammai's Lashon is that they are inscribed what? La'altar L'Chaye Olam. What's there between Chaim and Chaye Olam? Chaim has a connotation of this world. Chaye Olam has a lashon of eternality, which allows Beis Shammai's position to be a little bit more theologically settling. So it tells us that even if we don't see the righteous necessarily live out, even if we don't ultimately again see the righteous experience harmony, at the end of the day, nevertheless, there is some degree of eternality for the righteous. He goes on. He says, "Rishoim Gimurin, the absolutely wicked, nechtavin v'nechtam la'altar l'gehenem, are ultimately inscribed and sealed immediately for Gehenna Shina Emar, the Rabbim Mishani Admas Afar, Yakitsu Eila Lachaye Olam, the Eila Lacharfos Ulade Raon Olam. See, quotes over here the Pasuk from Daniel. Literally, there are many who sleep in the dust. Some will go ahead and awake and rise up and awake for Chaye Olam, for eternal life. And others will go ahead and be confined for eternity for degradation. That refers to Gehenna. Beinonim yardin leGehenna. The Beinonim, the ones who are in the middle, they go ahead and they descend to Gehenna, top of Yod Zayin. Umitzafzifin ba'olim. But then something very interesting happens. Mitzafzifin Rashi says soakim ubochim mitochi surin sha'achas ba'olim. So the Beinonim go ahead and literally they cry out. they cry out, they scream out, they cry out as a result of the pain, and afterwards, again, because of the suffering, sha'achas, that purges their soul. This is very interesting. So for the Beinonim, the idea is they have their time in Gehenna. That time, ultimately, again, is to be cleansing and to be spiritually therapeutic for them. After that period of time, they then are able to ascend from Gehenna. Shene emar, vehevesi es hashlishis bo'ish, utsraftim kitzaruf es hakesef, ubechan tim kivchon es hazav. So here the Gemara makes a little bit of a play on words. Literally, I will bring the shalishis, I will bring the third group. Now, what does it mean, the third group? Again, the Gemara's understanding that is a reference to the Beinonim, and I will forge them. I will forge them like silver is forged. I will forge them like gold is forged. So the same idea is that you introduce the metal into the fire in order to be able to refine it and to forge it. So too, the Beinonim need to be refined and forged through the fires of Gehenna. But after experiencing those fires of Gehenna, they are thereby cleansed and are able to ascend. So the Gemara goes on. Chana said regarding this group, Hashem, meaning this group of Beinonim, that must first descend to Gehenna, be purged, and then are able to rise up. Chana said about them, Hashem meimis umechayeh, morid sha'ol vayal. Literally, Hashem goes ahead and takes life, gives life, morid sha'ol, takes those to the depths, vayal, but brings them up. So who are the ones who are brought down to the depths, but ultimately afterwards brought up? That refers to the Beinonim, that refers to the in-betweeners. So the Gemara goes weiter. Beisila and Beisila say, Rav Chesed, what does it mean when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is abundant in mercy? Mate klape chesed. Rav Chesed is quite amazing. It means that literally mate means he shifts things towards chesed, towards kindness. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Mate klape chesed. Hoil u'mechza amechzahim. Mate es ha'achreya letzad zechus. Ve'en yardin le'gehenem. Since if a person goes ahead and has mechza amechza, if a person is literally 50%, a person is partially righteous, a person is partially wicked. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? When the scales are even, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tilts the scales in the favor of the individual. So we'll say a very important yisod. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Rav Chesed, essentially what Beisul is saying is Rov Chesed, that if there's a spiritual equilibrium, God will always tilt the scales in the favor of the individual. Va'aleim Amar David, and about them, David HaMelech said, Valeim Amar David, Ahafti ki yishma Hashem es koli. I love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always hears my voice. Va'aleim Amar David, and about them David said, Kol ha'parsha kula, the entire parakah of Tehillim, Dalosi, I was downtrodden, v'li Yehoshia. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and came to my rescue. So the Gemara understands that what David HaMelech is referring to over here when he says, Ahafti ki yishma Hashem es koli, I love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears my voice, or I was downtrodden and God lifted me up. That refers to the time where I was equal, where I was in a state of equilibrium, and ultimately, again, my judgment could have gone either way, but Rav Chesed, God is abundant in kindness, he always flips the scales in my favor. The Gemara goes weiter. Poshe Yisrael begufan, uposhe umo sa'olam begufan, but, literally, the Jewish people who sin with their bodies, or for that matter, again, from the nations of the world, the sinners who sin with their body, Yardin Gehenna. So we'll say, we'll discuss exactly what type of sin the Gemara is discussing over here. What does it mean, someone who sins with their body? What does that refer to? And again, remember, we're talking about Jews and non-Jews alike. So is it the same sin? Is it different sins? We'll discuss that in just a little bit. But what happens to those who sin with their body? Yardin Gehenna. They descend down to Gehenna. V'nidonin ba yud beis chodesh. And they are there. They are confined there for 12 months. 12 months, we'll see later on in the Gemara, that 12 months is generally the longest sentence that one could have in Gehenna. Longest sentence one could have in Gehenna. But for these individuals, what happens? The Achar Yud Beis Chodesh, after 12 months, Gufan Kala, their body ceases to exist, V'nishmasan Nisrefes, and their souls are incinerated, are burnt, V'ruach Mifaz Rasan Tachas Kapos Ragle Tzadikim, and the divine wind comes and scatters their soulful ashes underneath the soles of the feet of the righteous. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, over the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Malachi, Va'asosem rishoim, you shall trample upon the wicked, kiyo efer tachas kapos rakleichem, because they will become dust, they will become ash underneath the feet of the righteous. Aval haminin v'hamasoros v'apikarsim. But Rabbi say, look at Rashi for these definitions. Minin, Rashi says, are ha'anoshim asher havchu divrei Elokim chayim l'ra'a kegon tzadikim u'baytusim. So minin refers to those individuals who distort Torah. Distort Torah. He gives the examples of tzedukim or baytusim. For example, individuals who do not believe in the oral tradition, do not believe in Dorshe Balpeh. So they actively distort the Torah. Masoros, Rashi says, Masoros are individuals moser. Mashinim shemosrim mamon yisrael biyad ovdei kohavim. These individuals who actively give over other Jews in the hands of corrupt governments. And next, apikarsim. Also, this is actually very interesting how Rashi defines apikarsim. Apikores, Rashi says, mevaza tamidei chachamim. Someone who disparages Torah scholars is an apikores. Not the conventional, the way we understand that word, which is interesting. So the meaning of that masoros, that apikarsim, shekafru b'Torah, v'shekafru b'tchias amesim, v'shepirshu midarchi tzibur. But these individuals, who again, negate the authenticity of Torah, who negate the reality of the resurrection of the dead, shepirshu midarchi tzibur, they go their own way, they don't care about the collective. They just do whatever they're going to do. V'shenitnu, and they instill fear in the land of the living. We'll discuss that in just a moment. And they themselves sin and cause others to sin. Kigon, Yeravam ben Nevat v'chaverav. Like in the Yeravam ben Nevat, we'll say Yeravam ben Nevat was one of the kings over the kingdom of Yisrael. It was a terrible, terrible Russia who instilled idolatry throughout all corners of his kingdom. So not only did he sin, but he caused others to sin. For these type of people, Yardin leGehenim, they go down to Gehenim. V'nidonin ba l'dorei doros. They stay there forever. So as much as we said that the maximum sentence in Gehenna is for 12 months, that refers to individuals who sin significantly. But individuals who cross the line, they negate the authenticity of Torah, they sin, cause others to sin, they give over other Jews to corrupt governments, they're disparaging of Talmidei Chachamim. For such individuals, there is no salvation, and they spend eternity in Gehenna. Shena Emar, because the Pasuk says, because the Pasuk compared from Yeshaya, V'yatsu uru'u b'pigri ha'anoshim ha'poshim bi. Go out and see the corpses of those individuals who rebel against me. Furthermore, Gehenna Kala, now the Gemara implies a little bit of hyperbole, even if Gehenna were to cease to exist, the hain ain't uncolored. Their suffering would not. Meaning that their suffering will even go ahead and what? Will even go ahead and outlive, out-endure Gehenna itself. Shina Emar, because the Pasuk says, V'tsuram levalos sha'ol mizvulo. The chol kach lama. Why are these individuals dealt with so severely? These meanin, the individuals who again corrupt Torah, the masoros, individuals who give over other Jews to corrupt governments, apikarsim, those from Mevazah, who disparage, why are they dealt with so seriously? Mipnei shepashtu yedehem bizvul. Literally translated, because they have stretched out their hands to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Well, so now what Gemara is saying is that there are certain things that fundamentally undermine Jewish society. So when you have, again, groups of Jews that undermine the authenticity of Torah, that undermine the proper honor given to Talmidei Chachamim, that turn one against the other, that sin and try to entice the other to sin, such things, the Gemara calls it, destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Destroy the Beis HaMikdash is another word for undermine the entire fabric of Judaic society. So people who undermine the fabric of Judaic society ultimately, again, are dealt with in a much harsher fashion. The ein zvul ala Beis HaMikdash she'ne'emar, because the pasuk quotes the pasuk over here from Malachi, bano banisi beis zvul loch. Valim amrachan, and about these individuals, Chana said, Hashem yichasu merivav, Hashem will shatter those who go ahead and literally fight with him. Amr Abi Yitzchak bar Avi said furthermore, Upeleim domenu shulei kedera. Their faces resemble the bottom of the pot, meaning their faces become blackened because of the suffering in Gehenna. V'amar Rava, v'inhu mishapiri shapire b'nei mechuzah. This is actually very interesting. Umekarim b'nei Gehenna. And very often, these are individuals, he says, b'nei mechuzah, Rashi points out of here, me'unagim u'shmeinahim. Mechuzah is the name of a place. So mechuzah was the home of the rich and famous. So the Gemara says, very often, it's the rich and famous who engage in this type of egregious behavior. So it's very often, it's those people who are regarded with such high regard in this world that unfortunately, again, tend to inherit a lot of Gehenna in the world to come. Amar Mar, Beis Hillel and Beis Hillel say, V'rav Chesed, Mate Klape Chesed. So Mar said, remember, what did Beis Hillel say? When the Torah said that God is abundant in kindness, what does that mean? Mate Klape Chesed. That means, again, he shifts ultimately, again, the scales towards chesed. Remember, we saw two. So what does that mean? So uvahaksiv behebesiyas hashlishis ba'is. Ba'ish, but 1 second, that contradicts what we said before, because what did the Gemara quote before? The Gemara quoted a pasuk that said that the Beinonim, which seems to be, remember, Rav Chesed Beis Hillel understood to mean that if the scales are equal, God will tilt the scales in the favor of the individual. But yet we just learned that what? That the Beinonim go to Gehenna, right? The Beinonim, the individuals whose scales are equal, actually go to Gehenna for a purification process and then ascend. So how do we reconcile these ideas? Hasam b'poshe Yisrael b'gufan. Poshe Yisrael b'gufan. I'm sorry, Hasam b'poshe Yisrael b'gufan. So we'll say this. So the Gemara answers, I'll tell you when that is. Everything depends on what you have on the sin side of the scale. If you have on your sin side of the scale what he calls poshe yisra begufan, that literally I have sinned with my body, which we have still not defined what that means, then that ultimately, that's when a person ultimately goes to Gehenna. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Gehenna v'ha amrit leslu takanta. You just said before that somebody who's a poshea begufa, somebody who literally sins with his body, doesn't have any kind of remedy. Even Gehenna doesn't help him. To which the Gemara says, no. Ki les lo takanto, when does such a person not have a remedy? Berov avonos. That's when a person, if a person has majority of his deeds are sinful, and included in those sins are what? Are literally poshea yisra begufa, sins of the body, then such a person has no salvation. But Hacha mechza avonos umechza zechuyos v'ispulnami avon deposhe yisra begufan. But what happens if you have an individual who the scales are equal? The scales are equal, but included on the sin side of his scale are what? Are sins that he committed with his body. In that case, lo sagi lehu delav ve'avesi es hashlishes ba'ish v'imlav v'rav chesed mata klape chesed. To which the Gemara says like this. If you have an individual who ultimately, again, has half and half, but included in those sins are what the Gemara calls poshe Yisrael begufan, then what? Then at the end of the day, we hope that Gehenna will purge such an individual of his sins. But if for some reason Gehenna is not enough, v'im lav, v'rav chesed mata klape chesed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will intervene for such an individual and will indeed tilt the scales on his behalf. Va'aleim Amar David, and about them, David said, or about this, David said, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem. I love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears my voice. Dorash Rava, my dichsiv ve'ahavti, ahavti ki yishma Hashem. What does it mean when it says, I love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears my voice? Amra k'nes yisrof ne'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people said before God, Ribono shel olam, imasai ani ahuva lefanecha. God, when am I beloved before you? Bizman sha'ato shomea kol ta'achanunai. When you hear my supplication, Rabbi say it's quite dramatic. Now, what does Klal Yisrael ask? You know, Rabbi say we can't always ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us what we want. We can't always ask him to listen to everything. We can't always ask him to grant everything we want. What we can listen to, what we ask him for is what? Just listen. Just tell me that you're listening. And if you tell me that you're listening, the truth is, that's the most I could ask for. And that's why he says, again, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem. When do I feel beloved? When do I feel loved? When I know that you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu are listening. Dalosi v'liyoshia. What does the passage mean when it says, I am downtrodden, but you salvaged me, you saved me. Afa pi shedala ani min hamitzvah. So this is how beautiful this is. Even when I am impoverished, even when I'm a dal, I'm impoverished from mitzvos, Li na'el hoshia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will see, it is important for you to save me. But it's such a profound idea that even dalosili, even when I'm spiritually impoverished and have no mitzvos to my name, it is still important for you, it is good for you to try to save me. Po she yisrael begufan my name. So I'll say, let's go back now. So now what we've established is, that generally, even if a person has the scales equal, Rav Chesed Beis Hillel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is abundant in kindness, that what? That'll tilt the scales in my favor. There's one thing that seems to upset this entire equation, which is what? If a person is a Poshea Yisra Begufan, a person sins with their body, that upsets this whole ability for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tilt the scales. And apparently, even in a case where the scales are equal, a person may have to go to Gehenna first in order to purge themselves of that sin, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed comes in afterwards. So the Gemara says, what is this sinning with the body that we're talking about? My Nihu. Amarav karkafta delo manach tefillin. You want to know what it means to sin with your body? It refers to a head upon which tefillin is never placed. So that's how the Gemara defines sinning with your Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu commands us, because everyone say, why do we choose tefillin? So the Maharsha and others explain, because tefillin ultimately is the daily reminder of how we bind ourselves to God. So a person who does not bind themselves to God with tefillin, that is considered to be a posheya yisra begufan. I am sinning with my body. What about the umas and what about the nations of the world? Poshe umas ha'olam begufan. What is it? But again, remember the Bryce also said before that even the Gentile nations who sin with their body, that's also problematic. What does it mean that, obviously that's not referring to tefillin. What does it refer to for them? Amarav ba'aveira. I will say aveira in this context means immorality. So for the umas ha'olam, when they sin with their body, that refers to immorality. For the Jewish people, it refers ultimately to what? It refers to not putting on tefillin. And remember again, the Rice also said those who go ahead and place their fear in the land of the living also face severe divine punishment. What does that mean? So Rav Chista said this refers to a leader. This refers to a leader who places unnecessary fear upon his constituents, not for the sake of heaven. So as I sometimes a leader may go ahead and use his position for his own self-benefit, and the way he might do that is to put fear in the hearts of those who he leads. Again, there's an element of putting fear in the hearts of people for their benefit. But if it's for your benefit, for the leader's benefit, then that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And such a leader faces divine repercussions. Amrav Yehuda Amrav. Now the Gemara just picks up on this. Kol parnes amatil imu yisera ala tzibor, shalo b'shem shemayim. Any leader who places unnecessary fear in the hearts of his constituents, not for the sake of heaven, Eina roa ben tamut chacham, will not have a child who is a tamut chacham. Well, so in other words, again, what the Gemara is saying over here is that if you exploit your leadership position to put fear in the hearts of people, not to help them grow, but to instead, again, for whatever reason, put fear into their hearts, probably for your own self-advancement, such a leader will not pass down the necessary tools of spiritual growth to his child, and will not see a son who is a Talmud Chacham Shene Amar, because the Pasuk says, of your quoting the Pasuk from Iyov, Lachin, therefore, Yera Ehu Anoshim, those the individual who people fear him, Lo Yir'e Kol Chach Melev, he will not see any wisdom come from him. So the Gemara understands this to mean someone who goes ahead and places unnecessary fear in the heart of his constituents will not have a son who's a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, Beisilo say, Rav Chesed, Mata Klape Chesed. Also, it's very interesting. So Beisilo says that Torah says God is abundant in kindness. So what does that mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu shifts the scales towards Chesed. The scales are equal, as Rashi showed before. He tilts the scales in a way that's favorable for us. So Hechi Avin. Now, what does it mean he tilts the scales? Well, it's very interesting. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kovsho. Now, remember, again, if you imagine the image of the scales, on one side are Averos, on one side are Mitzos. So there are two ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could deal with tilting the scales in our favor. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kovsho. Kovsho means what? God pushes down the side of mitzvos, meaning he makes the side of mitzvos look heavier by placing his divine hand on it. Shene emar, yashuv irachamenu, when we return, God will have compassion on us. Yichbosh avonoseinu, literally, he will capture or push down our sins. Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina said, Amar, no say, no, he doesn't push down. Notice, said, what does he do? He lifts up the Averos. By lifting up the Averos, what happens? The side of the mitzvos go down, ultimately making them appear heavier. Shene emar, no si avon va'over apesha. Literally, he lifts up sin over apesha and is able to go ahead and literally over, he's able to overlook the sinful iniquity. We'll say just, again, we don't have time for it today, but obviously this is not semantics. What the Gemara over here is talking about is the difference in how HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu go ahead and address our wrongs. On one hand, you could say what he does is he just simply lends more weight to our mitzvos. That's the idea of God pushing down the mitzvos. He focuses. Life is about where you choose to focus, including for God. He chooses to lend more weight and put more focus on the things that we accomplish, and he ignores a little bit less our averus. So the opinion says no. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he lessens the impact of our sins by recognizing again that we're human, that we're frail, that we're finite. So by lifting up the sin, he lessens the impact of our sin because he looks at them in full context. So again, it's the Gemara trying to understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually works. The Gemara goes weiter. Turn it to Be'er Rabbi Shmuel. I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Tana, the Be'er Rabbi Shmuel. So again, they taught in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel the following idea. Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. I'll say, what does this mean? Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. So it's quoting over here the Pasuk. Kadosh Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the sins, Rishon Rishon, one by one. V'chein hi amida. And this is indeed the way that God goes ahead and deals with us. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. Avon shebi Rishonim ha'boim. So what Tanya Shmuel says is like this. It's actually not pushing down and lifting up. What does God do? He removes an avera from the scales. Now what happens if, again, if the scales are equal and he removes one avera, what happens? What happens? So again, the mitzvahs go down. The mitzvahs go down. The mitzvahs become heavier. Mm-hmm. So but again, so Rav comes along and says, but once again, let's be clear. Just because God removes the Avera from the scale, don't think that what? That the sin itself disappears. The sin doesn't disappear. Because at the end of the day, if there is a majority of sins, of sinful behavior, that sin that was lifted off the scale is included in the Talmud. Meaning, I will say, the Gemara is saying over here is at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does his part. If I don't do my part, then ultimately, again, all of the averos come back. If all of the averos come back, even those averos that were lifted off the scale in order to go ahead and equal things out are put back into the tally. Machshev v'hadayu. So Gemara goes weiter. Rav Am Rava says, this is a beautiful Gemara. Kol ha-mavir al-midosav ma'avir no kol pishav. Anyone of us who is mavir al-midosav. What does it mean to be mavir al-midosav? Mavir al-midosav means anyone who is, I know this is a good English translation for this, but you let things slide. You let things slide. That even if somebody wrongs me, I don't hold a grudge. I don't hold it against them. Literally, I'm mavri amidosav. I let it slide off me. I let it slide off me. Rashi says over here, mavri amidosav, she'enu medaktig limdod mida lemesarim oso. I am not medaktig for constant accountability for those who wrong me. Umaniach midosav, aholichlo. If something happens bad, I let it go and I move on. Kimo in ma'avir al mitzvah. Fine. So listen to this. So I will say, anyone who is ma'avir al mitzvah, anyone who lets things slide and allows people, again, somebody wrongs me, I let it go. I let it go. So what happens? Ma'avirin lo al kol pisha'av. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives him for all of his sins. Also, this is an incredible incentive to let things go. But what is the Gemara saying over here? Essentially, it's this reciprocity. God deals with us the way we deal with others. If I am willing to let things go when others wrong me, so what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to let things go when what? When what? When I wrong him. So it's just a quid pro quo. Shneamar, no se avon va'over al pesha. Lemi no se avon. To whom does God literally lift up or remove sin? Lemi sha over al pesha. To he ultimately who is able to forgive or is able to let go when he is wronged by others. So we'll say the Gemara tells us Maisa. Rav Huna liberated Rabbi Yoshua Chalosh. Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yoshua, literally Chalosh means weak, but really became deathly ill. He was on his deathbed. Oh, Rav Papa Lushai Luyebe. So Rav Papa came to be Mavak and Chola. And we'll say, When Rav Papa comes to visit, L'shayula Ebe, L'shayula means to ask about him. He's coming to visit him, and what happens? Chazi de Cholishle. He saw that he was very weak, meaning that he saw that Rav Papa was about to die. Amar Lahu, he said to Rav Papa's attendants, Savisu le Zavdasa. Prepare for him his needs for the journey. And I will say, that's another, what he said is, prepare the burial shrouds. And I will say, now remember, Rav Huna is saying this, I'm sorry, I keep on getting confused with names, excuse me. Rav Huna is sick, Rav Huna is sick. Rav Papa comes to visit. Rav Papa, when he takes one look at Rav Huna, says in earshot of Rav Huna, you better prepare the shrouds. You better prepare the shrouds. So what happens? Lusof itbach, at the end of the day, interestingly enough, interesting, Rav Huna was healed. Rav Huna recovered. So michsar Rav Papa lemechziye. Rav Papa was very embarrassed to ever speak with Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said here essentially, Rav Papa said in earshot of Rav Huna, the guy is as good as dead. The guy is as good as dead. You know, prepare the shrouds. He was very embarrassed. So amarle my chazis, amarle ein hachi hava. So apparently one time their paths crossed, and again, Rav Papa said to Rav Huna, "Nu, what did you see? Like, what happened?" So Rav Huna said to Rav Papa, "You were right. I was about to die. I was about to die. I was about to die, and what happened? I saw this scene unfold. My soul was about to come before God, and God said, and I heard God say, remember, I will say, this is Rav Huna speaking. I was about to die. Papa, you are absolutely right. They should have prepared the attack. I was about to die. And right as I was about to die, I heard God speaking, and God said, because this individual, lo mukim b'milei, was not exacting of others when they wronged him, meaning because he was able to let go and was able to move on and didn't hold everybody accountable for every single misdeed they did, lo sakum ba'adei, do not summon him before me. Or in other words, Rabosai, that Rav Huna heard that his life was spared because, again, he was what's called ma'avir amidosa. He was able to let go of animosity, able to let go of pain, even when others hurt him. Shene emar, no se avon, va over al pesha. Lemi no se avon, to whom does God lift up sin, la over pesha. To those who are able to give others a pass. Again, Rabbi Yossi, I want to be clear. It doesn't mean that you excuse the behavior. When somebody does something wrong, they have to make amends. But the idea is that I don't go ahead and hold on to the grudge. I don't hold on to the animosity. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying, please, may I have another. Hey, I'm not saying keep on doing this. But at the end of the day, what I'm saying is, I'm not going to hold on to this animosity towards you. It's okay. You know what? It's between you and God. You have to make amends for whatever it is that you did, or between you and, maybe it's between you and your fellow man. But at the end of the day, I'm going to let it go.
Isn't that already covered by the mitzvah?
No, that tells you that you can't go ahead and bear a grudge. I can still bear anger. Like, there's a difference between bearing animosity and ultimately, again, bearing a grudge or actually taking vengeance. There's an idea of this is total letting go. First of all, lositor is activity. Lositor is animosity. A person cannot have animosity, but might still have negative feeling towards another individual. Those are different. There are different gradations of this. Mavri Amidosav is another level where a person actively lets go of all of that. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. Aliyo the Kotzba the Sheiris Nachaloso Velo Lachol Nachal. So I will say this is an expression. Actually, I'm sorry. Let me read it first. Lemino Se Avam Apesha the Sheiris Nachaloso. So I will say, what does it mean the Sheiris Nachaloso? So literally to the remnant of his portion. So we'll say, what does this phrase mean? Amr Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina says Aliyo the Kotzba. We'll say Aliyo the Kotzba is an expression. Aliyo is the fat of the tail, which was considered to be one of the choicest parts of the animal. Coats refers to a thorn. So if you have, so meaning, al yavakotz is an expression of you have good and bad mixed together. So what does it mean, al yavakotz? L'sheiris nachalaso, v'lo l'chol nachalaso, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive for a remnant of his portion, but not for the entirety of his portion. What does that mean? L'mi shemesim atzmo kishirayim. I will say, ultimately, again, what the Gemara speaks is a little bit of a play on words. You must miel kamocha no se avon va over al pesha l'sheiris nachalaso. For whom does HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant absolute forgiveness? For someone who makes himself like shirayim, sheiris shirayim. What are shirayim? Shirayim are leftovers. So we'll say, what's the chap with leftovers? Leftovers aren't generally considered to be very chashuv. So what happens if a person makes himself like shirayim? A person makes himself like leftovers. Doesn't stand on ceremony, doesn't stand on his own covet, doesn't stand on his own ego, but a person is willing to forgive and to let go to such an individual. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're willing to forgive and let go to the other, if you're willing to give others a pass, if you're willing to go ahead and let go of the grudges and animosity that sometimes plague each of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you can do it for others, then I can do it for you. Let's go a little bit weiter. Rav Huna Ramik Siv. Rav Huna contrasts the two psukim. On one hand, it says, Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav. It says that Hashem is righteous in all of his ways. Uksib, and it says the chassid b'chol ma'asav, that he is a chassid. He's a chassid. He's righteous and chassid. Rabbi say chassid. Remember, is the same root as chesed. So remember, tzaddik is from the same lashon of tzedek, which means justice. God is a God of justice. Chassid b'chol ma'asav means he's a God of kindness. What does that mean? Betchilas tzaddik ulabasov chassid. In the beginning, he's a tzaddik, but in the end, he's a chassid. Rabbi say, what does that mean? That in the beginning, God tries to judge us based on the attribute of justice. When he sees that what? That is not going to work out very well for us. If he employs for us justice, what does he do? He switches over to chesed. Rabbi Eliezer Amiksi, Rabbi Eliezer contrasts Pesukim. Ulucha Hashem chesed. It says, for you Hashem is chesed, is kindness. Uksiv, ki ato tishalim li'ish kima'aseyu. That you repay each man in accordance with his deeds. Betchila, so the Gemara says, how do we reconcile these two ideas? Betchila, in the beginning, ki ato tishalim kima'aseyu. In the beginning, the way it's understood is you repay each man in accordance with his deeds. Ulebasof, and in the end, ulecha Hashem ches. In other words, both say what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to begin with is what? What he tries to begin with is that ultimately, again, I'm going to give you what you deserve. And then when he sees that's not going to work out too well for us, so what does he do? He goes ahead and he judges us with kindness. Let's just do two more lines and then we'll stop. Ilfi, ba'amrla ilfa. So Ilfi, I'm going to say it wasn't Ilfi, it was Ilfa. Ramik said, contrasted to Psukim. The Rav Ches said, God has abundant kindness. Uksiv, ve'emes. But it says that God is a God of truth. Betchila, ve'emes. In the beginning, God tries to judge us, emes. So we'll say, emes means justice. God tries to judge us through the lens of emes. Ulubasov. But in the end, Rav Ches said, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no choice but to judge us with chesed. One more piece. Vayavar, Rabbi said, this is just amazing also. Again, the great kindness of God. At first he tries to judge us through the medium of justice. When he realizes that the medium of justice will not yield good results for us, what does he do? He switches over to chesed. One more piece. Vayavar Hashem al pana vayikra. Rabbi said, this is by after the egel, after the sin of the golden calf. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and gives Moshe Rabbeinu the 13 attributes, the Yud Gimel Midos. Vayavar Hashem al pana vayikra. Hashem passed over his face and he called out. Rabbi Yochanan said, El mali mikra kasov iyef shala omro. If the pasuk did not say it, we would not be able to say it. What happened? Milamed shenis atif HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibor teaches us that God wrapped himself in a talis like a shliach tzibor, because it was what the Gemara is picking up on. Vayavor Hashem passed before Moshe. Vayikra, the Gemara understands, refers to who? Refers to God. That God is literally modeling for Moshe how to daven the 13 attributes. Hashem wrapped himself up in a talis like a shliach tzibor. Vehera le Moshe seder tefila, and he showed Moshe how to daven Yud Gimel Midos. Amar lo, he said to Moshe, Kol zman she Yisrael chotin, whenever the Jewish people sin, Yaasu lefanai kiseder hazeh, they should pray before me in the seder, Va'ani mocha lohem, and I will forgive them. All right, Tabase, we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up right here tomorrow. So, Yom HaShem, over the next couple of days,